Hi, this is Richard Collins. I'm the chairman of VyStation, and I want to welcome you to our EdTech Works podcast today. And I have George Kouros with me. He's a principal at a school district outside of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and he's doing a great job up there. And his parents had a great Greek restaurant, and I'm sorry I didn't get to try it. Now, what's the name of your school, George?
Well, I work for a school division now and as the division principal, so it's a little bit of a different role. I work with all the schools, all the teachers and all the principals, but it's called Parkland School Division. So we serve about 10,000 kids spread out over about 150 miles geographically west of Edmonton.
And so are you the IT director for that school district?
No, I'm actually, my focus is innovative teaching and learning.
Right.
So we actually, to be honest with you, kind of got rid of the word technology in my title because it was about getting teachers and our staff and our administrators to think differently about how we can teach and learn and some of the opportunities that we have now. And so some of it does involve technology, but sometimes it's stuff that we see through the use of social media or things like that. So we try to like make sure that we have the infrastructure, but we don't focus on technology for technology's sake. We want to look at it like we would a pencil, that we don't really think about it. We just do it when needed.
Well, it sounds like you're where everybody's going to be in the next 10 years, but they're not quite there yet.
I think a lot of schools are actually in their thinking, some of those places they're there, but not necessarily in the structures that they've set up, right? I think.
Right.
Many teachers have an understanding of, you know, the possibilities with technology, but it has to work. I heard someone say this, that, you know, home is where your Wi-Fi works. Like, I heard that. And so, like, when I walk into the school district, my stuff just connects to the device. I don't have to, like, sign into a website and, you know, do all these other things. It just works. And so that's something that has been huge for us because it's not, you know, a kid spending, you know, even if it's 2 minutes, it's 2 minutes lost of time that you don't need to lose of them signing on, going through a website and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're pretty good. We're not perfect, nor is I don't think anybody, but we're up there for sure.
Well, we're all trying to figure out a way to get kids on the Internet quicker and faster because time is precious in the school day. Now, one of the things you've talked about is being a learning leader and for administrators not to be afraid of technology. Are you having administrators afraid?
To be honest with you, principal is the most crucial role in our organization. They're more crucial than a superintendent, to be honest with you.
Agreed.
They have the most authority closest to kids. And you can have some really great teachers, but if you have a bad principal, those teachers will either, you know, kind of lose their excitement for teaching or they'll leave. And so we focused on that we would make sure that we really connected with our principals to kind of lead the ways.
How do you get districts to improve in education and to focus on more technology, and some districts are slow? What do you do to try to encourage them? You just give them your experience?
We really try to look at, with technology, that we're not, you know, there's so many business elements of school of, you know, things that we have to do for accountability and, you know, to our governments and things like that, that oftentimes the technology that we buy is focused on how we connect for those business solutions and that we just expect them to work for learning. And so we really actually try to flip that model and say, okay, what do we need for learning? And then if it fits into the business model, then we will go there. A lot of schools, if you look at them from the outside, they have one-to-one and, you know, every kid has a device and they're well connected and all of those things are in place. Yet the teaching doesn't look any different from what they had before. And so it quickly becomes like $1,000 pencil. If you look at like all the costs associated with providing laptops for kids. So we really wanted to focus on, with what these devices provide, what will look different about our teaching and learning. And that's where we started from. And I think that's what a lot of schools have to do so that they, as you said, they focus on how do we get teachers thinking differently and getting them to experience different types of learning.
I was having a meeting with the governor of a northeastern state, and he and his senior guys were talking about, well, we're 1-1 in this state. And I said, great. After they got the computer, what do they put on it? Oh, I don't know. And so, you know, 1-1 is a pretty easy idea, but you got to have the software, and you have to have the curriculum that is engaging, exciting, and all that stuff. That sounds like you know about that. One of the things I think is pretty interesting about what you're doing is their use of social media to engage kids and families and so forth. What do you do? How do you use social media? Do you tweet all the time? Do your teachers tweet? You is everybody on Facebook or Instagram?
Many of us are on Twitter in our school district. We also use Facebook to some extent. And I think why we do that is to change conversations at home with our, you know, with our parents as well. If you're talking about that that aspect of it, is that instead of a parent, you know, asking their child when they come home, what'd you do today? And the kid having the same response all over the world, you know, of nothing. We're trying to get them to say like, hey, you know, look what's happening in the classroom and have a different conversation. So they come home and say, I saw you did in grade 3 today. Tell me more about that, which is a totally different conversation. And so it's really helped us to have an understanding of that and make connections with parents and show them what's happening. But it's also been really powerful for us because we are spread over a large geographical area. And we would have like an opening day every year where all the teachers would get together. We would have a big opening day. Everyone would be excited and go back to their classrooms. And then the teachers wouldn't talk for the rest of the year. And now what we're finding is that through these connections of social media, more and more teachers are seeing themselves as part of Parkland School Division as a whole. And that the more we share and the more we learn from one another, the better we all are for our kids. And now these, you know, schools that, you know, have one grade 3 teacher are now connecting, you know, to other grade 3 teachers in our school division because social media allows us to do this. So they're doing, you know, some really innovative things that they're learning from, you know, within our own school division at any time that they want. And if you even look at our hashtag of PSD70 in summer, it's extremely active of teachers sharing what they're learning at conferences and things like that. So then it kind of debunks that myth that, you know, we're just kind of taking the 2 months off and not doing anything. It's showing that we're, you know, a lot of us are learning. Like, of course, we still take holidays and things like that. But you can go on at any time and see, you know, teachers are constantly learning in our school division and connect with them. And it's pretty powerful. Seeing, you know, innovative ways of learning is going to push you. And I love the term competitive collaboration because I still think there's we talk about collaboration so much in schools, but there is a little competitive side too, is that if I have two grade 3 teachers in my school, neither one of them wants to be the teacher that everyone wants to go to someone else's class. They want to have, you know, high quality learning that's happening. And so why I say competitive collaboration is that when we connect with other teachers, they push each other and they see what the other one's doing and it makes them want to be better, but they also know they can walk across the hall and they're going to share these ideas as well. We still work in this community, but we still push each other as well.
That's great. That's very impressive. Now, what can technology do to help schools with small group teaching?
There's two paths that we look at in that situation, and to be honest with you, in what we're doing overall, is the notion of personalized learning and individualized learning. Not all students will learn the exact same way, so they need different supports and different things to help them, and I think that's where that group comes in. But if you look at personalized learning, we're trying to do things where kids are basically going on whatever path they are wanting to go to, and then ending up in totally different destinations based on what they're excited about. And that's really fostering a love of learning. So we really see is like through these devices that kids will have an opportunity to connect and learn from different avenues, different information in these smaller groups, but also different people. And I think that's what's really crucial. And one of the examples I saw was a kid who was working on a project and I walked by him, and this is for a thing we do called Innovation Week in our schools, which is really, really a powerful example of, you know, of learning in what we're doing. And he was designing a car, and this is a grade 8 kid that's designing a car, and he's doing it on a high, like just a really complicated software. And I asked him, I'm like, how did you learn how to do that? And he goes, YouTube. Like, he didn't even, like, it wasn't even, he never even thought about it, right? But he, they, in that school, they really fostered that. If you want to learn something, you can go figure it out yourself now. You don't need to be dependent upon a singular person, you know, the teacher, to do this. So we're seeing kids explore these things in ways that are meaningful to them. Now, for some kids, they could have went to, you know, the website, read the step-by-step, but this kid chose YouTube. And it's really crucial in our schools that we get kids to think about that, but also our infrastructure supports that. Because I know a lot of schools, you know, block YouTube or things like that. And I'm thinking, man, how could you block something that is has so much great information? There's tons of bad stuff there too, but that's our world. And we need kids to, you know, be able to navigate it and find, you know, powerful things and what they need to learn.
Well, you're thinking outside the box. Well, George is going to be one of the featured speakers at the upcoming Texas Computer Education Association Conference in Austin, Texas in February. And I look forward to seeing you there, George. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Awesome.
Take care.